Welcome to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're opening up the case of Archie Andrews versus the City of Riverdale for the Season 3 premiere. I'm your host, AV Club Senior Editor Mara Eakin, and I'm joined, as always, by totally not guilty person, Cameron Sheets.
I'm innocent. Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Aren't we all?
We are. What's Archie guilty of? Oh, murder.
Allegedly.
And breaking hearts. And not keeping his shirt on.
But the evidence is so flimsy.
I know. It all is flimsy.
And it's 6-6. I don't even want to get into that later, but geez.
I guess, maybe.
I think like one holdout, maybe. Gosh.
Let's punch the ice to start. We love every episode to punch the ice. Ice puncher. Get things
started. Which actually
off.
Comes up in this ep.
Yeah,
it does. Because he saved Cheryl's life.
Yeah, part of this episode almost works as like a little bit of a recap to everything else that had happened before, which I was like, thank you. I needed that.
That's the goal of a season premiere, I guess.
Jughead's opening narration is like, here's, I don't know, it's like this weird, very writerly way of talking about like people summers. And you find out that Veronica was working at Pops over the summer and that Betty was interning with...
Because she owns Pops.
Yes, she does.
Betty was... interning with Archie's mom.
Cheryl later mentions what she had done, which was
ride across country on motorcycles with Tony, which is great.
Need to see more of that. Where it's like the web exclusive.
I know.
The short series.
All summer
series.
They should have been doing things that they used to do. Like when Dawson's Creek was like off in the summer. I was in college or high school in the season, but you could like go to like their, like it was like you were on their computers. You could like click on their emails and like kind of poke around on their desktops.
I'm surprised there's not more of that. That's almost like the Instagram thing you told me about where all the fans like create the fake web presences for the characters, which I've been diving into some of those. But that brings me, I guess the ice puncher was just like, there's a few characters we don't really know about their summer. Yeah. So I just wonder what did Kevin get up to besides like kiss Moose?
Kevin probably just like hung out. do you think he has a job? Like, I don't know where people work in town.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Kevin probably doesn't. He feels like such like a boy next door. Like he's got his like milk at home and just hangs at home, waits for his dad to come home and is like what's for dinner?
He has his like little routine. Like he like works out in the morning, you know. But he's dating Moose, I guess.
Moose, yeah.
Speaking of dating, Josie and Sweet Pea have been dating.
Yeah, right. Which I was gonna ask too. Like, what do you think Josie did with her summer? But I guess it was date somebody from the South Side.
Which just seems like an extremely awkward pairing.
Yeah, and the show kind of plays that up for all of one scene.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where I'm like, is there gonna be a payoff for this later, or are we just
also like, didn't we think Sweet Pea and Kevin were gonna get together?
There was a little bit of that, but Fangs was the one that.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, Josie and Reggie had kind of always been flirting. So
yeah, Josie is, she's Ashley, whatever her name is, that plays Josie, is very tiny.
Yeah,
Ashley Murray. Like that bathing suit, I was like, whoa, you are so small. And then Jughead.
Oh yeah,
he's just been social justice.
I guess he's just been writing and setting up Serpent Camp.
Yeah, being like boss of everybody, I guess.
Yeah. I was kind of confused because the way he was like talking through that narration, we get the cuts to things and then you show them all swimming in the swimming hole, but that like hadn't happened yet. I have a lot of like questions about how like the weird memories and dreams worked in this episode, but I guess we can get to that later. Let's jump into the episode.
Yeah, let's jump in.
So yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, it's like the show kind of does the whole, like, let's sort of recap the major beats of some of the story for you up front in this court case. We've got D.A. Penelope Ann Miller, which I say because I don't remember her name.
Which I felt was like kind of a waste.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
She had nothing
to do. I was like, why is she here?
Just
like hire some rando. Like, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe she comes back later on some way, somehow. But it's also like, she's got a few scenes and then opposite her is Mary representing her son. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the law at all, but can she do that?
I imagine she probably could, as long as she's like telling the truth and not like bending the rules to like defend her son. She has some very floppy bangs, very unfortunate hairstyles in this whole.
You said that, but I countered with like, I really like her dresses.
Her dresses are great. It's just the hair where I'm like, top bun with like floppy bangs. Like, okay.
Yeah, the whole court thing is kind of, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not that into it.
No. And like, why is there no air conditioning?
Yeah, it's
like
so hot.
It's so like To Kill a Mockingbird.
I thought that too. Like, okay. I was like, Archie in his bow tie too. I was like, oh my gosh,
like
how much are we going to lean
fans.
In?
yeah. Okay. Upstate New York. Like, it's probably fine. And and then basically they, you know, all of a sudden they're like, we're going to sequester the jury in this one hotel room.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. That's not going to happen. And we're going to go away for the weekend.
For the weekend.
It's Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend.
Enjoy your weekend, Archie.
Yeah. And I mean, the gang's whole thing is they like constantly like, this gives us more time to figure out, you know, they just want to snoop. They want to Scooby gang it up. But Archie's like, no, let's just have like a nice weekend for once. And they bring up the swimming hole, which I want to throw the soundbite because it was one of my favorite parts of the episode.
We've never been before, Ronnie, but Betty and Jug, do you guys remember Sweetwater Swimming Hole? How we went there every summer?
I was just thinking about that place earlier.
Yeah, me too. What made us stop going?
Probably when we got covered in leeches.
Was that us or was that a movie?
That was definitely us.
Oh.
Yeah, I mostly, I don't know. The leeches thing was so weird, just such a weird throwaway line, but I really liked it.
Yeah, and then they're all like, let's go. And it's like, are you guys like going to get leeches again? Like, mm-hmm. Do you think the leeches have been sorted out? Like,
they didn't seem to care. And as you point out later on, there is that sign at the
hole.
It's
a creepy sign. Like, what's that about?
That we lingered on for some reason.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, but that's like Tuesday, right? Like, it's like no swimming here after Labor Day. And it's like, it's before Labor Day, right? Like, is that what we're in agreement on? Right.
So I think they're fine, but maybe not.
Maybe it'll come back later in the year. Like, so let's go swimming again. Yeah.
Maybe it's like some city ordinance thing. It's like, if you guys swim after Labor Day, the cult will move into town. And then that's what happens. They didn't follow the rules. And now the Gargoyle King has moved into Riverdale.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think, again, Archie is so stupid. Like, this has like been my refrain for years.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, I know they're supposed to be teenagers, but like, oh, he's so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have questions about his choices later on,
yes,
too.
Yes, 100%.
One of the things he does in preparation, which I guess Veronica probably just doesn't care about tattoos, but I think I'm surprised she let him go through with the tattoo because mm-hmm. that's like a clear sign that he's like, well, I'm going to end up in prison.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she didn't seem to have any qualms with that.
Yeah. I mean, it also, I frankly thought that tattoo was fake. Like, I thought FP was like drawing a tattoo on him.
I guess
he
couldn't tell.
But then I guess it's really a tattoo.
But it is still on him. Yeah. Yeah, it would have to last really long. He just shows up in prison. And he's like, don't worry, guys. And they're like, that is smeared permanent
marker. Never
washes
that arm. Yeah. Yeah.
First of many, many, many shirtless scenes because Archie's getting that tattoo. There's mm-hmm. so much in this episode.
Does he have real tattoos? Like, he does, right?
He
like KJ.
Does,
so they have to like body make up him like every time they do like his insane.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. I guess it looks like they do a pretty good
job. They do
job
a good job.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
But speaking of shirtlessness.
Yeah, there's a pool party
they
at Thornhill, bitches.
Where it's like, burnt in the background, which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
See the like charred building room. That can't be safe, but doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't know. This scene is interesting. I think it's just an excuse to get everybody in one place so we can do a little bit of like table setting here.
Yeah, and to like take a bunch of photos that you can put online where they're all like in bathing suits.
Right.
Cheryl, of course, looks great.
Uh-huh.
Like, period, the end.
Of course.
She's sitting on like a velvet love seat on the side of the pool.
Everybody talks about their summers. I mean, we've already talked about Josie and Sweet Pea having a weird summer fling, but Josie's like, I got to focus on my music, which is like, you could have also done that over the summer too. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know why. Wouldn't school be the harder time to focus on it? Because like you have other things to do. Presumably.
But nobody cares about homework anyway.
And then we find out that Kevin... It's makes this like awkward proposition mm-hmm. to Moose where he's like, do you know the thing how people get married if they're like 40? He's like, how about we just like lose our virginities to each other in the next like 3 months, 6 months, something like that.
Yeah.
And Moose is like, gulp.
Yeah. Moose says like nothing. And Kevin just kind of goes back to his book, which I couldn't figure out what it was. I really wanted to know. But weird moment obviously is going to come back into play. Mm-hmm. But I kind of just like, why? Why would he do that to them? Mm-hmm. Why would he do that to himself?
Kevin's looking like very talented Mr. Ripley, which I enjoy.
Yeah, he definitely is. And other things that happen here, I mean, not a ton. Archie has that conversation with Reggie as they toss the pigskin, and he asks if he wants to, like, he'll take over when Archie's in jail, which...
Didn't he say, like, dude, I'm already captain of the team or whatever? And it's like, okay. I think that's, again, like, another excuse for Charles Melton to be in the episode and for him to be shirtless. Yeah. And, then Veronica somehow finds out Josie that like the jury is sequestered in one hotel room.
Yeah,
which what are they like sleeping like sitting up?
That's what I wonder too. Are there bunk beds or?
Yeah, and then she's going to try to sneak in and sway the jury, which is jury tampering and is illegal.
Not only is it a bad idea, to follow through with, but then the show like it obviously diffuses it immediately. And so what was the point? I guess just to have Hermione like chastise her, and you get that moment where Hermione is like, I'm not a puppet. I'm a, no, maybe she's not in prison. She's, I don't know. She's trying to say that she's on Veronica's side ultimately, but like still, I always have questions about that, but.
So also,
yeah.
I guess moving on, what we find out at some point, I don't remember if this is at the party or not at the party, is that the hot dog at some point was stolen away by the Googlies.
Right.
Which, like, they just haven't found him all summer. Okay.
It's been 3 months.
He's just, like, languishing away, like, tied to some pole.
Poor hot dog.
Which is, I said, like, that's how you know that the Googlies are terrible. Yeah. They just, like, are starving some dog.
They're starving a poor dog.
I know. But they find this out, and Junkhead's like, let's go get him.
Yep.
We should hear that.
Oh, yeah. Because Betty's reaction to it is funny.
Even know we're there.
Yep. Okay, well, then I'm coming with you.
No.
No, don't you dare tell me that it's too dangerous, Jug. The Serpent Queen is a warrior queen. So if you're on the front lines, so am I.
Okay. Let's bring Hot Dog home, shall we?
The Serpent Queen is a warrior queen is like one of those things where I'm like, you don't actually think that or would never say that.
Yeah. But
she's right. She's right. She is a warrior queen.
In that, like, she stands and watches everything go down, but like would maybe fuck shit up. I don't know. Do you think Betty can fight? Probably, right?
Oh, she definitely would.
She can fix cars.
I feel like she and Penny are going to have like a head to head at some point.
I hope so.
Well, yeah. So, right. The whole gang goes and finds Hot Dog chained up, and of course it's a trap, and Penny and the Ghoulies all come out
because Jughead goes by himself, which is like, oh, good idea.
And there's like some vague threats, and then Cheryl shoots an arrow at Malachi. Wasn't
yeah, he hits, yeah, hits Malachi in the shoulder because Malachi's like, cause I forget what the I should really remember this, but like basically it was like, okay, if you let me go, or whatever, then like there's some like devil's bargain.
Yeah, basically. Well, I mean, where it ends up is Penny's basically like, okay, you guys can go. We don't want to fight right now, but now Northside's fair game.
Yeah.
Like, as if they were just going to stay on the south side.
Cheryl doesn't miss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And she doesn't. No, she's the best.
Pretty solid, yeah.
That's such a wild moment. Just
it's
like,
so like a Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves moment where it's like,
well, it's just funny because, you know, again, the whole serpent south side thing is always playing up these like greaser gang archetypes, but then to have someone in there with like a bow and arrow doing damage is really, really insane.
I think it's amusing very rarely that there's like guns on the show, which is pretty solid.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's always like switchblades or baseball bats or, and then when there is like an actual gun, it's like very dramatic.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
But not here. Not in this moment. It's just like, if anything, they have like their spiky bats.
Like a longbow, yeah. And like a chain. Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about Betty's dramatic turn.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Okay, we're back. Shit is going down at the Cooper house.
Yeah, just kind of like a small thread that goes throughout the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It just, Polly's around. Alice is wearing much flowier robes and things around the house, so she's changed.
She's so malleable.
Yeah, her hair is not, like, it's a little, it's different to the hairstyle. Like, everything's changed about her. She's a new person now. Mm-hmm. And Betty is just trying to go about her business. And I really like her reactions to, like, Alice and Betty throughout the episode because she just kind of eye rolls, which is like, yeah, these people are insane. I think it kind of starts to, there starts to pick up some tension because, well, I mean, Polly's just like pissed that Betty keeps like trash talking the farm. I almost said the cult. It's the farm. Keeps trash talking the farm and like looks into her prescriptions and the therapist she's talking about. And I guess that was all fake.
Mm-hmm.
And so she tells her mom.
So like when she says she's going to therapy, she's just going to help Archie. And yeah. Like, why does that have to be a secret? Or is she going to hang out with Jughead? Like, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, I mean, yeah, she should be going to therapy for sure.
Definitely.
Why is she like scamming? Is she writing her own prescriptions?
I wasn't sure. I think
how
maybe.
How is this happening? How did she get prescription pads?
Mm-hmm. But it is weird. I mean, because she's kind of just saying that as a way to maybe deflect and get Alice and Polly off her back to be like, I don't need the farm stuff. I'm taking care of it myself with this yeah. therapist. But she's obviously not. And
yeah.
It comes, I don't know. It just comes out then and she's kind of upset about it. I do really like the one Alice and Betty confrontation because she kind of like eye rolls again about the farm.
Farm
so let's hear that.
That some huckster named Edgar Evernever is selling you.
He's helping us move on and he can help you too,
oh,
sweetheart.
Really? Oolong milk and wanting to burn my diaries is helping you get over the fact that Dad murdered 4 people and tried to kill us. If you genuinely believe that, you are in denial, Mom.
No, Betty, you are.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like her being like, you guys are crazy. The oolong milk tea, it was really funny in my mind.
And like finding all her diaries.
Uh-huh.
And like wanting to burn them. But it's also like, you read my fucking diaries? Like,
yeah. Yeah, although she you would pretty chill
you
about
you should know that Alice is going to find all your shit.
I mean, maybe that's why she seems a little more chill because she just expects Alice to yeah. always be in her business.
Keep
at all
like
times.
A private one on your computer yeah. with like a login or something.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like the moments because I think that the farm stuff is kind of absurd and I like it. But you're seeing Betty as a character kind of like be like, yes, this is absurd and acknowledge it. She says Edgar Evernever, like, Edgar Evernever, like, yeah, that's a dumb name. Who is this guy?
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably some good stuff that they tried to get her to do from the
oh,
farm,
sure.
but then
yeah.
it's also just gets like crazy.
Yeah, this is only the tip of the iceberg, but we'll obviously have to touch on.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more later.
Get back to the end. But I mean, we get back kind of into the main push of this plot, which is Archie's trial.
Yeah, it's a hung jury, and then the judge, by the way, I don't know if you've been listening to the new season of Serial, but I think this is
been.
Totally illegal. It's based in Cleveland, Cameron.
Yeah, that's right.
Where the judge is like, you know what? Instead of going to trial, how about you just take this crazy plea that I came up with off the top of my head? And I think that like an appeals court would overturn that. But and Archie's like, okay. First of all, like
why?
He's a minor.
Uh-huh.
And they would and his mom's like, no. They wouldn't just be like, well, he said okay.
Yeah.
So
nobody really puts up any more of a fight.
No. So he is going to jail for 2 years or something crazy?
Yeah, I did write it down because I wanted to be sure. Time served 2 years in juvenile detention if he pleads guilty, which he does do. So
yeah.
But that just doesn't, how does that happen and why? Like, why does he feel like he needs to fall on that? I just don't understand.
And then he's going to go to like, okay, you're just like not around anymore.
Yeah.
And so like, that's not going to stick. Like, we all yeah. know it's not going to stick, right? Like, they're not just going to put Archie in jail for the next 2 years
mm-hmm.
and, like, have the show just exist without him.
Right. We're going to meet some people inside yeah. the prison, I'm sure, some other serpents and whatnot. But mm-hmm. I just wonder how long that will be part of the plot.
Can't imagine. It'll be super
or the,
long.
The not the prison, the juvenile detention center, right?
Leopold and Loeb Correctional
yeah.
Center.
Which,
I looked up what Leopold and Loeb is.
Oh, yeah.
I knew the name. There were two wealthy students at the University of Chicago who, in May 1924, kidnapped and murdered a 14-year-old kid because they thought that they were smart.
Yep.
And that they could get away with it because they thought their intellectual superiority rendered them capable of carrying out a perfect crime and absolved them of responsibility for their actions. So it sounds like a Brett Kavanaugh situation.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about those guys from what I read, well, there's two things. One is that they did admit to like being sexually involved, those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that
with
side
each other?
Of it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, interesting.
And then the other part of it is bringing it back to Riverdale specifically is that I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast. Roberto at one point wrote a play that became like that weird version
yes.
of Archie and everything. Leopold and Loeb were characters in that. And like Archie was exploring his sexuality through his college roommates who were Leopold and Loeb, but then they ended up murdering people. And so it's obviously a point of fascination with Roberto. And maybe this is just his way of throwing that in there.
It's just like a wink wink.
Unless it's a clue to something down the road. But
yeah.
I don't know. Pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then of course, Veronica's super
yeah.
mad.
Yeah, right. That's like, even though there should have been a final nail in that coffin, like episodes ago. Yeah, she's like finally
9
like,
months ago. Yeah.
I'm over it, Dad. Like, that was too much. I can't believe you did that.
So like, she still lives there. Hermione still lives there. Why?
Yeah, I know.
Like, just go live with, like, I don't know, you own the diner. Like, is there not like a room above the diner, like an apartment you could live in somewhere? There's a
speakeasy beneath, but
yeah, just set up a little camp in there.
Yeah, it does feel like something the show would do. Like, why not have her live out of there? I don't know. Maybe that happens now.
Go live with Cheryl.
Yeah. Yeah, tons of room. Let's hear their little
disagreement. You think I did
all this? I think it's pretty interesting.
Because he threatened me? No. It's because you betrayed me. This is your punishment. You chose that boy over blood. My own daughter.
You don't have a daughter anymore.
But yeah, I mean, basically, it's just Hiram being like, this is because you disobeyed me.
And we got a Miha in there, yeah, which is like, okay, throw it in.
She's like, I'm not your daughter anymore. So maybe she does move out. Maybe this is it.
I hope so.
Or they'll just like weirdly, like angrily stare at each other across the dining room table for like the next few episodes.
She has no leg to stand on then if she like stays there. Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, she's still like taking food from him, money from him. Yeah, like,
right.
Food, like shelter. So please.
Yeah, I don't really understand that family, the dynamics there. Weird.
So the last thing that we don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
Is the Gargoyle King.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, you see Dilton and our old pal, Ben.
Ben. Ben. The mystery blonde.
Ben.
The one that we thought we were just smart for, like, finding the extra that popped up a bunch. But then Roberto was like, no, there's a plan. And it's like, this was the plan?
Maybe. Or they just, like, bring him back, like, every season premiere.
I guess so.
It's like a wink-wink.
Yeah.
He's the guy that slept with Miss Grundy and then worked at the movie theater.
And then also, like, offered a job to Chick, but it was, like, up in his bedroom, so yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it was
clearly, like, a sketchy job. So they're playing what kind of looks like Dungeons & Dragons. It's called Griffins and Gargoyles.
Yeah.
And then Dilton shows up, like, right before the verdict or something, I guess? Was it the verdict?
Yeah, at Jughead's.
Yeah, and it's like, something, like, it's not just a game. Jughead's like, hang out here while I'm gone for a couple hours.
Weird thing.
Instead of just like, ride with me and tell me or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when he comes back, Dilton's gone, but has left this like weird map that Jughead follows. Yeah. And then
it kind of
finds...
looks like it's a game board tracing sort of thing, but it does map over the town.
Yeah. But just because of Jughead's like crazy person map on the wall.
Still there.
And then he goes and finds like Dilton and Ben. Looks like they're like ODing with like stuff carved on their backs.
Carvings on their back. And then when he flips Ben over, he's just like spewing blue stuff.
Yeah.
And it's under the statue of ostensibly, I mean, I think that's the Gargoyle King, at least the marking of.
Yeah. Okay. So there's like some crazy occult stuff going on.
Yeah.
Or just like some bullshit.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's a intense twist to leave the episode on, which we did see in the one teaser trailer.
Yeah. But then it gets even crazier.
It does get crazier.
Which is that, you see Betty walk out on her back porch and there's like that burning rituals going on in the back and they're like raising the twins. This is like a photo we saw a while ago.
Yeah, definitely.
But then what you didn't see in the photo is that like the twins just like, they like let go of them over the fire, which is fucking scary. And I was like, no.
Right.
Like obviously. As a twin mom, like, everything affects me like super crazy right now.
Fair.
And then they just hover. And then Betty like passes out and has a seizure.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So then you're supposed to kind of be left, I guess, going, was that real?
Right.
Or is she like hallucinating because she's on all these like meds? Mm-hmm. Or?
Yeah. Well, how much of that was real?
Yeah.
I want to, the twins are levitating. They have superpowers. It's like Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
No. I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, again, this was another bit of a scene that we had seen before the season started. And we like knew that there was going to be this weird fire ritual thing. We're like, looks like a cult. But then the fact that they're levitating.
The fact that it takes a weird turn. And it's not just like, we welcome these twins into the family or whatever.
Who could have predicted that we'd be seeing that this episode?
No, it's super weird.
Yeah. Cool shot, though, of Betty like passing out where it like follows her as she falls.
Yeah.
And then we're just like above as she convulses.
And I will say, this is like a credit to Lily.
Yeah.
Is that it looks real.
Yeah,
like
it does.
Her convulsions look
real. I'll
say
it again. Best actor on the show. Yeah, pretty freaky. I mean, I don't know. That was a good note to leave it on with that. That sounds like I'm about to get into my thoughts on the episode as a whole, which means we should take another quick break.
Yes.
And then we'll come back.
We'll be right back.
Hold up.
We're back.
We are back.
Cameron, tell me about your thoughts on this app.
Yeah, I didn't like the court stuff, and I think I felt the same way about it they did with the Archie stuff too. Where I'm like, what? I don't. This doesn't matter. These are teens. Like, I know that obviously that can happen, but I'm really glad
we didn't have to see that drag on. Like, we didn't have to wait till the end of the season. Like, oh, let's watch Archie's court preparations.
No, that's a good point. But I've also kind of in the past talked about like my dissatisfaction with like the cliffhanger of like, oh, Archie getting arrested at the thing. In my mind, it's like it feels like maybe this court stuff should have been at the end of the season too. And then we would have started with him in prison. Like, I just felt like we should have gotten this out of the way already. Like, this didn't feel like a fun thing to start the season on.
No.
It just was kind of like, we're just, like, stuck on it.
It also didn't feel like it had much weight to it. Like, okay, he's either going to get off, and then that was, like, a pointless plot point that you had at the end of last season, or he's going to jail, which is also not really going to stick, so.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm curious to see what they do and, like, why they want that to be part of the plot. Like, why is he going off?
Also, by the way, like, he goes to jail and his mom's like, well, I'm back. Go back in Chicago. Yeah, call me if you need anything. It's like,
we didn't just talk about
hung him out to dry.
Yeah. See ya. We didn't talk about the hot dads.
Yeah.
I forgot Riverdale hot dads. They're like vowing to figure this out and take Hiram down, which is kind of cool. I like that moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It was one of those ones where I felt myself like craving more of like the normal like teen drama stuff. And this just felt like this insane thing. I like the cult stuff a lot, but I think I liked the leech moment so much because that just felt like friends having this like weird, goofy conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I always do enjoy that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And like supposedly this season is going to be more based on that stuff. But like this, like, oh, they're going to take the SATs and blah, blah, blah.
Worry about college. And.
But it doesn't seem like it. I mean, granted, they're not back in school yet or whatever, but it seems like we're headed for like a whole bunch of giant storylines that have nothing to do, that are just all based in like stereotypes and drama.
Of course.
So
the show loves to deal in that business.
That being said, like, I'm kind of there for the occult stuff. So
On board.
I mean, for sure. We got Sabrina coming up. So they're just going to ride that train.
I know. Again, I wonder if there's going to be any way they connect this, even if it's not actually like a crossover by any means.
I do think if you didn't like season two because you thought it was like too big a reach, like you were not going to like this.
I totally agree. It already feels like we're heading in kind of the same direction.
Yeah.
And that's, take it or leave it, I guess.
Well, I'm taking it because I can't stop watching the show.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready. I'm ready for more. I'm ready for 21 more episodes, right?
Boy.
Bring it on. I guess while we're talking about what's ahead, like, let's jump in the speculation booth.
Yeah, grab your milkshake.
What's your take on the babies? Like, we did talk about what the possibilities are, but do you think we're going there for real?
I don't know. How do I explain this? I don't know. I think that's it. Like, I could go either way on it. What do you think?
I think that she was like imagining the floating babies. I think like the show was happy to show that sort of thing and get kind of spooky with its like weird imagery and dream stuff. But like the show still wants to keep things somewhat grounded and real.
Yeah. Like even if there's a cult, they don't actually have any magic powers. Yeah.
Right. Basically that's a good way to put it. Totally.
But I think that, I don't know. She won't buy it. Do you know what I mean? Like, they'll be like, no, that didn't happen. And she'll be like, well, I think it did.
I mean, even if they didn't actually float, like, what the fuck's going on around the fire? Like, answer those questions, guys.
Gargoyle King.
But yeah, I mean, and that brings it, the cult stuff is really interesting to me because I like typed all these out. I'm like, does the Gargoyle King and all these weird markings, does it have any ties to the farm or Edgar Evernever? Is this a fully separate cult? Is it related to like what Hiram's trying to do on the south side in any way? Or is this like a fully new threat that came in from the outside?
How long has this farm been there? Like, is this like an old farm? And has Gargoyle King always been around? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
In like some Jughead dialogue.
Yeah. And I think there's probably still, well, we know there's a lot of like the parents' history to dig into too. I don't know if that ties into it, but like also the town history the show loves to dive into it too. So there's
I look forward to meeting Edgar Evernever too.
Yeah.
I assume we are going to.
I think it's a little while off, but I know that they talked about casting him and his daughter is going to play into it too.
Cool.
But I don't know if they're like showing up in Riverdale or do we have scenes at the farm?
Is the farm in Riverdale? Is it like in Greendale? Is it... Who knows?
That's what we got to know. I need to study that map on Jughead's wall again.
And then we have the Ghoulies and Hiram making threats too.
Yeah.
And they are just bad people. Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
It's got shot in the shoulder. Penny's
yeah,
needlessly bad for no
She's
reason.
She's so fun again. Like, I always love that performance. Britt Morgan, I think, is the name. Like, she kind of, the way she rolls her eyes and, ugh, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite bad guy, for sure.
Yeah. I think it's got to be some sort of, like, like, we never really found out, like, what, why FP was like, stay away from her.
Just because maybe he knew she was a shady character. But you're right. There's got to be more history.
I wonder if there's some, like, sort of jilted lover situation.
God, remember
situation?
When we thought she was supposed to be somebody's
mom or something? Yeah.
There have been so many weird theories that have come and gone. Anyway.
Speaking of weird theories, are Dilton and Ben dead?
Oh,
I don't think they killed Dilton.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think they killed Ben. I think they just, like, much like Moose, they, like, have this incredibly close thing with death. We see the short sleeve doctor next week.
Yeah, we do.
And they're fine.
Uh-huh.
But they're shaken.
And probably unable to, like, coherently talk about whatever they experienced.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Like, it was just like, there's a flash of light.
And yeah. Then,
you know, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And RE, the prison thing.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the name game, because that kind of ties into...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The next week's episode is called Fortune and Men's Eyes.
Yeah, I had to look into it, but it's a play, and it was a 1971 movie that's, like, all set in a prison, a men's prison, and it's, like, there's some heavy, like, gay themes in this. Like, it's all about basically finding, I don't think this is the word they used in the description, but, like, your daddy in prison to protect you.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, whoa, is the show going to go there? Like, is Archie going to find a daddy?
Archie could take care of himself, but I don't know.
I would think so, but I don't know.
Plus, he's in the gang. Like, he doesn't need...
Right.
I really hope that doesn't get into, like, a prison rape situation, which is always, like, so cliche and, like, horrible.
The one teaser showed a moment where it looked like there's somebody in riot gear.
Great.
So there's definitely going to be some sort of internal prison riot, and it's probably Archie started it unwittingly. And yikes.
See, I was kind of thinking, having not seen that teaser, that, like, the bus was going to crash. You know what I mean? Like, where they show him on the bus, and then it looks like there's, like, something weird in the road or something. Like, I don't really remember.
Oh,
but I was
yeah.
thinking, like, oh, the bus is going to crash, then Archie's going to get loose. And then, like, what, does he turn himself in or, you know, hang out? Or?
Oh, that'd be interesting. But, I mean, they do show the sign. They show the Welcome to Riverdale sign that the cult had marked on.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I think we definitely, from...
I think he goes to jail.
I think we see a lot in there. At least we'll probably get, like, one or two episodes there. Like, kind of like Cheryl being in the correctional or in the straight camp thing.
And then somehow he gets out because they figure out that it wasn't Archie.
Yeah, definitely. Hot dads to the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Let's take another break.
Sure.
Woo, exhausted already. All right, we are back with our very last segment, which we do every week, which is called The Blue and Gold, and it's where we talk about sort of our, like, ancillary fan moments that we really like. Basically, not things that have happened on the show, but things that we like from real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't think I had anything, and then I remembered that I do.
Oh.
And it is, I think I said this to you, like, after Crazy Rich Asians came out, Charles Melton was, like, posting, like, great job, da-da-da, and, like, John M. Chu, the director's, stuff. And he's like, great. He's like, thank you, like, brother. Like, let's work together in the future. Let's see if we can get you in a movie. And I was like, great. I would totally, having seen Crazy Rich Asians, watch in the next movie,
great
Charles
movie.
Melton in that movie.
Yeah. He could be in it.
Like, as a cool bro.
I don't know anything about where that story goes in the other Crazy Rich Asians book.
I totally bought the book. Books. And guess what? I haven't even cracked it.
Oh. Actually, I remember seeing that you have that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll borrow it whenever you're done. And then we'll figure out what role Reggie belongs in. Oh, I feel like I missed those tweets, but that's cool. I'm glad he's excited.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, he should be. He could totally be in those movies.
KJ.
Mm-hmm.
Archie, whatever. KJ just posted something on his social media, and it was like Reggie going to the bathroom in, like, a public urinal, and the door is, like, flapped open.
I know. I saw that.
Those bros. They love each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then... Did you see that, like, supposedly, like, Cammy and Melton are dating?
Oh, yeah. We haven't even talked about that.
Supposedly.
Yeah,
maybe it's, like, a rumor. Total showmance.
It definitely feels like that. But, yeah, you do, like, from some of their vacations and stuff.
Yeah, like, he's hot, she's hot. Like, yeah, like, sleep together. We don't care. Like, yeah.
We encourage it. Go for it. Yeah, interesting point. Yeah, I forgot about that completely. That was, I guess, big news. Doesn't seem to be the fervor that there is around the Bughead IRL thing, but oh, speaking of, I tweeted this thing the other week, like, mostly as, like, a troll thing, but I called Bughead the, like, that Pete and Ariana are the Bughead of real life, and people are like, shut the fuck up. I think definitely. Disagree?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, like, is Jughead the Pete Davidson?
Yeah, of the show and the ponytail thing.
I guess. Although he has like a little more aspiration, maybe, than Pete Davidson.
Oh,
or seems to. Sure. Maybe. Sure. I don't know. He could definitely get stuck there.
But it is kind of, if you're going with like their like very basic archetype, you've got like the kind of like slightly bad boy outsider, mm-hmm. and
ponytailed
then the
overachiever.
Ponytail, like cutesy, squeaky mm-hmm. clean, but still kind of like sexy image.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's, I like it. They're the same thing.
Jughead doesn't work quite as much as like streetwear, but I'll go for
he
it.
He should, yeah. We got to step up his street style. Mm-hmm. The suspenders, but like over like a just
Supreme
a big. Yeah, t-shirt. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I mean, just in the last day from when we're recording, Roberto has been tweeting out his like
I know
episode title things.
Yeah, he's like, I'm behind on these, so he's just gonna blast them all out at once.
Well, we'll get, I think, you know, we'll get into the names later when we do the name game for other episodes, but the one thing he said, episode 307 is wrapped. Remember last year's trio of short stories, Tales from the Dark Side? We decided to make it an annual event. Eventually we're gonna get another like triptych sort of horror thing. Which
I sent
cool.
that to you like, yay.
Yeah,
I'm sure you'd already seen it.
Oh, go for it.
I thought last year's like one of them, I think the Josie storyline was kind of weak.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I don't know if we're going to do the same people this year, if it's going to be new people. I'm interested to see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was spooky. It was fun. They had some fun with it. Yeah. It was definitely like, that was the episode with like the weird Russian lady in the wheelchair. So it was like, oh, this episode is nuts.
Yeah, where nothing happened then.
And then he also tweeted out about the mid-season finale, episode 308.
Which they're already shooting.
Yeah, which is really, really crazy. Well, they already wrapped it even. Oh, they were already shooting it when he tweeted that. Yeah. And there's some interesting hints at where the plot might go in the art that he tweeted from that. So we'll make sure we share it, but we don't have to get into it too much now. The word Lodgedale is written on the sign.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Whoa. Whoa. So master plan of Hiram somewhere.
Still happening. I think that's all I've got for this week.
Yeah.
And then next week we'll find out what's going on in the juvenile men's correction facility.
Oh boy.
As the Scooby Gang tries to get Archie out, we get to see him behind some glass.
Like, yeah, I'm excited for that. Sure.
Ay. Dial In for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineers are Stephen Holliger and Leo Garcia. Our producer is Leah Steltenpole. The show is hosted by me, Mara Aiken, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, tell your friends. They won't even have to try that hard to find us. We are basically everywhere you can find a podcast.
We're all over. Yeah.
Just Google it. Do Google Dial In for Maple. When you Google it, you might find our Twitter, which is @DialInForMaple. And Cameron is like just cutting it up on there all the time.
I love it. Again, my outlet.
You're very funny on Twitter, Cameron.
Thanks. Thank you.
I'm like, thank you, thank you. It's like really my highest.
It's my life's work.
Guys, thank you so much. And we'll see you next week when we will dig deeper into the mysteries of the Gargoyle King. Even saying it makes me like want to roll my eyes.
Bye-bye, gargoyles.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, God. Bye.